Hey everyone, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Today we're going to be going over the last two episodes of Survivor. I'm here with Dom as always. Dom, how's it going?
It's good. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We don't really have a coherent plan for this episode because it's the night before the finale. We're just going to recap what's happened so far, make our predictions of what's going to happen tomorrow, and just talk about the season in general, what we think of it.
That's right. And let's get right into it. You know, this last episode we saw was obviously fantastic. And leading into it, we've just seen Edna get booted. You know, when they got down to the final six to Polu, she was clearly the bottom of the ladder. She went, and we'll talk about that episode in a little bit. Before we get into the real heart of this episode, I think we should start just briefly going over what happened on Redemption Island now that Edna's there. She's there, she's meeting up with Ozzy. It ends up being kind of a close challenge, but Ozzy wins again. Not a huge surprise. We're now down to the five core Upolu, which are Coach, Brandon, Rick, Sophie, and Albert. And this is really where the end game starts to begin. In this episode, in terms of what the coverage we see of those five, opens symbolically with the five of them praying. And, you know, shortly thereafter, it cuts to a confessional of Albert, and Albert saying, just having ended a conversation with Sophie, when they're talking about their plans for the future in the game, and he turns to the camera and says, she has no idea, but she's going to be the next to go. Now, I'm interested, why do you think Albert's thinking like this? Like, what's his motivation in trying to boot Sophie?
Well, I'm not sure he actually is thinking like this. The editor seems to be having a lot of fun with Albert, where they set him up as this kind of reverse oracle, where everything he says and all of his plans just fail completely. So as soon as I heard Albert say he's going after Sophie, I knew instantly Sophie was safe.
Okay.
The episode for me a bit, but.
That's fair enough. And you know, the Survivor writer Mario Lanza pointed that out about James Miller in Survivor Palau, I think. About every confessional they had just never, ever came to fruition. And we're definitely seeing that with Albert this year, which is, you know, too bad considering he's on the 2+2 thread. But we'll get more to Albert.
Yeah, I mean, at least in that case, it's a whole tri fading. Here, it just seems to be Albert as one person being set up for just utter humiliation. Which is depressing, actually, because I like Albert, and I like his approach to the game. He seemed like a nice guy in real life. He's very smart, very rational. It would be good to see him win. And you'd expect someone like him, traditionally, to get a good edit. The fact that he's being just buried at every opportunity makes me think that either he gets booted soon, or that at least he doesn't win.
Yeah, I think if Albert had gone on to win, and you know we'll get to our prediction. I think we both safely say Albert's not going to win this season. I think if Albert were to win this season, we'd be seeing a much different side, and I would compare it. You know, I think an Albert winner edit would look a lot like a Yul Kwan edit, the edit Yul got in Cook Islands.
Right. Instead, Albert seems to be getting a kind of Sash style edit where he's acknowledged as strategic, but not in a competent way, or at least not in a likable way. And I think he's been setting up for exactly the same fate Sash has. I think he gets third place, maybe picks up a few votes, but I don't think he's going to be in winner contention, to be honest.
I don't think he's going to pick up a few votes. I could see him maybe getting one or two. I think now he's in a much better position to get Brandon's vote, but I don't see him getting anyone else.
Yeah.
Even if Brandon ends up on the jury, which we'll find out if he does. So now, speaking of Albert, the next thing we see in the episode is Albert approaching Rick the morning after the Edna Tribal Council, trying to solidify this final three deal, saying, you know, Rick, we haven't talked a lot, but I'm still planning on going. I hope you're still good on it. Me and you to the end. Let's go. And we're going to see this scene come into play later. And it's important to note that this scene actually happened. That Albert did approach Rick about a final three, and we'll see why later. And Albert then gets a confessional where he says, quote, in the game of Survivor, I don't care a single thing about honor and integrity. I really don't, end quote. And I'm curious, within the context of Survivor, as a Survivor player, what are your thoughts about in terms of trying to play honorably and with integrity?
I think the terms are meaningless in the context of Survivor. I mean, it always annoys me when you hear people, or usually bitter jurors, act as if someone's a bad person for actions that they take in the game. It's perfectly possible to disassociate the game from real life. You can be perfectly upright, moral person in real life, and just lie your face off in Survivor. The two aren't mutually exclusive at all.
Yeah, and I think there are certainly situations where playing perhaps with honor and integrity ends up working out for people, and there are certainly perhaps even instances where that's the correct line to take. But that being said, you know, if I'm playing Survivor, I'm doing what it takes to win, and if it means not having Coach's definition of honor and integrity, then so be it.
Right. There are situations where it's right to play with honor and integrity and to try and make other people think that that's the way to play because if that happens, then the most natural outcome is you winning. And if Coach was doing that season, if publicly he was saying we need to play honor and integrity and all that, and privately in confessionals he was saying this is a strategy to get people to trust me, I would love it. As a fan of Survivor who likes strategy, I would love it because it's the perfect approach. I mean, you get to not get any blood in your hands while maintaining a perfect strategic position for yourself. As it happens, this isn't a ruse. Coach actually does believe that this is the way to play, and he seems to be failing at it. But as Coach does, he finds a way to rationalize it to himself.
That's certainly right. And, you know, we're going to see a couple more instances of Coach later in this episode where I'm thinking that he's just doing something as a strategic move, and it turns out it's actually being done genuinely, and we'll get to that in a minute. But before all of that, cut to a scene of Sophie now talking to Coach, saying that Brandon is the one who needs to be going. And the reason she's giving Coach, at least, is that she needs to put they need to put Brandon and Ozzy on Redemption Island because they're the two strongest competitors, and one of them definitely needs to go very soon. And, you know, if Ozzy comes back, it's risky to leave both of them in the game. And she also adds that they're the two biggest jury threats. Now, Sophie's getting a lot of credit, and we'll definitely be getting to Sophie. But in terms of perhaps sometimes her what she's telling other players not lining up with what she's saying to the camera, rather than being double-talking, being kind of planting seeds of, like, inception, trying to get people to think now that Brandon's a jury threat, even though at least as viewers, and I have to imagine as people on the island, you're going to know that he's not really a jury threat just because of such erratic behavior. If you're Sophie, first of all, do you think a Brandon boot would be great? Is a good move for Sophie? And second of all, is that roughly how you would try to pitch it, I guess?
Well, I'm not really sure whether this was a genuine pitch by Sophie, that she actually wanted Brandon gone, because if you remember a few weeks ago, she had a secret scene where she said that she wasn't really worried about Ozzy coming back because she thought that if she was in the final tribal council with him, sure, he might pick up votes from his own tribe, but they would be outnumbered and she'd be able to argue a good case for herself. And to me, that showed a lack of understanding of how jury dynamics might possibly work. And we've seen in the past, it is often difficult for people in the game to judge how other people will be perceived by the jury. I mean, we've had, I think Ross is the best example of this. I mean, he was kind of unaware of what was going on around him socially, in the sense that he was booting off people like Shambo and John, and he was willing to boot off Danielle and Candace, who he needed to take the end with him to have a chance. But even for people who fit in socially, it's often difficult to tell who the jury is going to respect, who the jury is going to like. And often we've seen people like Denise and Lydia and people who fit that archetype being seen as jury threats, even though maybe in reality they wouldn't have been. So it's difficult to know whether Sophie actually thought that. If she had settled on Brandon boot, however, her reasoning might have been that she'd heard that Brandon and Albert had been coming after her. She knows that if Coach flips his vote and votes out her, then she's gone. That's three votes, that's all they need. So she might have the luxury of deciding who she wants to go home. If people are set on Brandon going next, then she just has to run there and hope that Brandon goes home instead of her.
That's fair enough. So now we cut to another scene where Albert's laying on a hammock and he's talking with Coach about booting Sophie potentially, and then intruding on this conversation walks in Brandon Hance, complicating the issue even further. Now, in an episode where we've already seen a lot of people listed as the targets and a lot of different motivations for that, Coach now, who, you know, is in perhaps in the process of thinking about maybe booting Brandon, in what while watching the episode, thought was a deflective maneuver, kind of antagonizes Brandon a bit to kind of maybe change the subject and deflect from what are you guys talking about to the subject of Brandon, why are you being so aggressive and paranoid? Don't be like Russell. And I think a lot of what Brandon's motivation is not being like Russell. And, you know, it turns out, I thought Coach was just kind of leveling Brandon and deflecting. It turns out we get to a confessional with Coach, and he's still genuinely traumatized by Russell, by what happened to him in Heroes versus Villains at Russell's hand. Is this some kind of, like, post-traumatic stress disorder with regard to Russell?
I think it could be. It's kind of weird. This season we've seen, it seems to be a recurring theme where people just randomly get accused of bullying for no reason. But in this specific case, I think Coach is genuinely scared. I mean, if I was Coach, I would be scared about it, not least given the fact that Brandon has shown himself to be unpredictable. As for his specific approach, it just seems like it's just going to antagonize Brandon without really accomplishing anything. He could have just said, oh, well, Albert was telling me that he thinks Sophie's a threat and we were discussing whether she would go next or whatever. Easy thing to say in that spot. And you know it's going to work. So it seems like Coach was acting fairly emotionally there instead of rationally.
Fair enough. I want to take this opportunity to real quickly talk about, we got to see a great treat for the viewers, a third Hance now on the show, and that's Sean Hance, Brandon's father. What did you think of Sean Hance in his brief time on the show?
Well, just on principle, I'm kind of annoyed that he was there. I mean, if it was any other relative, then they wouldn't have spent nearly as much time as they did. But given that it's the Hance family, as a viewer, I don't really care, because you know it's going to be quality entertainment. I mean, the scene really speaks for itself. The only thing I have to say is if I'm Ozzy there, and I'm on Redemption Island, I may not have thought about this in the moment, but you know that the producers want to have as much Hans, as much of the Hans family on screen as possible. So I would have not picked Brandon at all as if I could have helped it. So they ask me who I'm going to pick. I say, I don't know, I'll pick Rick. They ask me, okay, well, it's not Brandon, so do you want to pick another person? Like, oh, sure, I'll pick Sophie. So I just keep going down the list, and Brandon's always going to be last place, just to troll the producers.
That's very clever. One more thing about Sean Hance. Do you think we're going to see him as a player someday?
It wouldn't surprise me, let's put it that way. I quite like to say that, actually, because he seems like a relatively well-adjusted member of the Hance family, but their appeal to me as a viewer comes from the fact that they're clinically insane. So having someone who's vaguely normal on the screen doesn't really do it for me.
That's fair enough. And, you know, the whole time that Sean Hance was there, I couldn't help but think to myself, you know, I bet it's going at least through the back of his mind that if he goes on now and acts all Hancy during his little time for his family visit, that he's kind of trying out for the show. If he can make himself into enough of a Hancy character, I think that was definitely going through the back of his mind. So we move on now to another coach confessional, whereupon Brandon once again intrudes on within the middle of a scene. Coach is sitting there pontificating about, you know, tonight's choice is going to be hard. I'm not going to be happy with this decision. I'm not going to be very comfortable with the decision. But he's, at the time at least, thinking strongly about voting out Brandon. And then Brandon walks in on him and direct quote says, you know, cheer up, man. God's got everything under control. End quote. And now this is yet, you know, the religious overtones this season, which we'll definitely be getting to towards the end of the show, have definitely been kind of a driving force in this season. And we go on to see, we arrive at the immunity challenge. Brandon wins. And the first thing he does is scream from the top of the podium, you know, thank you, Jesus. And part of Brandon, so now Brandon's immune, so that target, it's looking like, you know, it's going to be Sophie or Albert. Not a lot, obviously no discussion about getting rid of Coach, no discussion about getting rid of Rick. So it looks like it's going to be Sophie or Albert. But as part of Brandon's immunity win, he gets to pick someone to enjoy the reward aspect of the win with him. And the reward is pizza, which they get to eat at camp, and Brandon picks Rick. Now, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about if that pick was correct or not. I want to know what you thought of him picking Rick.
I don't think it's a strategic decision. I think Brandon just thought, I like Rick. Rick hasn't really gone on any reward so far, so I'll take Rick. I think that was the extent of his thought process there.
That's typically the extent of Brandon's thought process. Right. It brings up another point that I know gets talked about, which is because with the Redemption Island season, there's just not enough time to fit a reward and an immunity challenge into one episode because they have to do the Redemption Island challenge. So the format switched a bit over the last 2 years where there are no just straight reward challenges, and thus it often becomes a situation where the winner of the reward previously would have to pick some people to come with them, and it would a lot of times stir up the dynamics around the camp because it would reveal a lot about the pecking order or whatever, and people would read into who the challenge winner would pick. And you saw historically people like Chase on Nicaragua potentially destroy his own game several times when he won a reward and got to pick two people. Like I said, there's a lot of dislike for this new format. What do you think about having a combined reward and immunity? And do you think it's better or worse for the game when people have to pick who they take with them?
Okay. I think the criticism of Redemption Island that it takes up too much screen time is unfair because, like you said, that time just would be used for reward challenges anyway. I dislike the fact that the immunity winner gets to pick who goes on reward because, like you said, when you pick people, it's always less than majority. So let's say there's seven people left. You win the chance to take people with you, you're always going to be able to take maximum two people. So you're always leaving behind lots of people at camp to plot against you. They're going to be resentful at the fact that they're not taking on reward, and you're putting yourself in danger by doing that. So you have to make a difficult decision. This way, though, if the immunity winner gets to pick reward, then they're safe anyway, so they don't care. They can just take whoever they want without really having to feel the consequences of it.
That's a very good point. And now we go back to camp, and once again, you know, instead of going away on a reward, the reward's to be held back at camp, so it makes it a bit more difficult for people to plot against the people off on the reward trip. Now, Sophie decides that she would like to go over to the two people having the reward, and she's not allowed to eat the pizza, but she wants to go over and smell the pizza. And in the process of smelling the pizza, mentions to Rick and Brandon that she's going to be voting Albert out tonight. And Rick quickly says, you know, oh, me, I'm definitely going to vote Albert. You know, he came to me with this bullshit yesterday about still wanting to go to the final three with me. And they cut right to Brandon Hance's face, and that is big news to Brandon that Albert's been talking behind his back. And Brandon has a great confessional right before this very big scene on the show where he says, the Bible says when you sin, your sins are going to be shouted from the rooftop. And this next scene, we see a lot of Albert's sins shouted from the figurative rooftop. We have this huge blow up that can't, you know, relatively huge. It's not violent or anything. But within Survivor, it's a pretty big blow up where everyone's kind of on Albert. Albert's vehemently denying everything. Rick flips out when Albert's denying Rick's accusations. So I guess if you're Albert in this situation, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, you did, in all honesty, go to Rick and give kind of a fictitious final three deal to him. So now that you're being confronted by literally the rest of the tribe, do you think his line of just straight up denial is a winning line, I guess?
Well, he has in fact given contradictory promises to two different people. So whatever he says, he's going to annoy one of them. So he has to decide for himself which one he thinks is more likely to stay on his side, which one's more persuadable. And that person's probably going to be Brandon. So in that scenario, I just call Rick a liar, to be honest. I think I've lost Rick's vote already. That's a lost cause now. So I'm just going to hope to retain the votes of Brandon and hopefully Coach or Sophie.
Fair enough. And, you know, we saw kind of a similar situation, which actually ties in Big Brother 9. There was when they got down to Final Five, Natalie got kind of called out by the entire house and was basically forced to pick a side in front of everyone. And I was thinking during the episode, in terms of Coach's relationship with Brandon, I don't know that there's anyone in Survivor history that I'd rather have on my side than Brandon Hance, just because you know he's going to be loyal, predictable player in terms of what he tells you he's going to do, he's going to do. And I was thinking, you know, the previous benchmark for that in terms of just my all-time person that I could have on my side was Natalie on Big Brother 9. So are you seeing some similarities, at least between, you know, Natalie was very religious as well. What do you think about the Brandon and Natalie comparison?
Well, one thing that's interesting, though, is that Natalie also gave up a sure head of household win when she dropped from the cages. So the parallels are even more striking. I think it's a pretty good comparison. Listeners who don't watch Big Brother may not be familiar with it, but if you do, I think you'll instantly recognize what we're talking about. Yeah, I think the most notable thing about that blowout scene at camp as well is that Coach was nowhere to be found. He was somewhere off in the woods, not getting involved with the drama, and I think that's the best approach for him to take. Quite honestly, even Sophie, who we think of as a fairly cool, calm, calculated player, was getting angry at Albert and potentially causing herself damage in the process.
We're now left with the fallout of this big blow up that's happened at camp, and Albert is, you know, always a gamer, is trying to figure out how he can better. He's got a lot of damage control to do, basically, is what he says. And as far as I'm concerned, he picked the correct path. In terms of trying to stay alive in the game, and that was going to Brandon and asking for forgiveness, basically. And the line that he take, I believe his direct quote was to Brandon, like, "I feel like your heart, you're closing your heart to me now," and trying to kind of pull at Brandon on his religion, in terms of, you know, he knows Brandon is a guy who is big on forgiveness, and he feels like, you know, Jesus Christ would have forgiven him, and that Brandon potentially could forgive him. And not only does Brandon forgive him, but kind of in the heat of the moment and certainly reacting emotionally, Brandon not only promises not to vote for Albert, but he also says, "Albert, you know, if you're going to be in trouble, I will give you my immunity necklace," which Brandon just won. And he says, "You know, Albert, he says, I'll give you the immunity if I think you need it." Albert obviously is very happy with this result, and Brandon then now has to go tell Coach, because Brandon always wants to be very honest with Coach, because he thinks he's in a final three deal with Coach and an alliance to the end with Coach. And they preach so much about honor and loyalty and integrity. So Brandon goes to tell Coach his plan about giving Albert the immunity necklace. And he says to Coach, "You know, I'm comfortable doing this move because now I know Albert's not going to vote for me And I know that you're not going to vote for me." And he says, "You know, I've talked to God." Brandon, you know, says, "I'm sure you can tell by now that I talk to God all the time." And Coach says, "Sure." He says, "I've talked to God and God told me to give Albert this second chance and give him the necklace, and God told me you're not going to write my name down." And Coach, in what I believe again is another deflection, but says, "God told you that you're going to give Albert immunity. God may tell me something entirely different."
Yeah, obviously Brandon actually thinks that God told him to do that, but I love the audacity of it, because typically when you're threatening someone in Survivor, you say, "Well, you know, if you vote me out, then I'm not going to vote for you at the end, or I'm going to tell all the rest of the jurors how much money you make." To tell someone that if they vote you out, they're going to burn in hell for the rest of days. That's a fun approach to me. I wish we'd see more people doing that.
So now the thing is, once again, for the second time this episode, I thought Coach was merely deflecting, and then it cuts to another Coach confessional where he says, "Oh, I'm genuinely going to pray about this, and God's going to talk to me and tell me who to vote out," and it cuts to Coach praying in the sand. Now, first of all, when you're Coach in this situation, and Brandon comes up to you and says something along the lines of, "You know, I'm going to potentially be giving Albert this immunity," and not, it's not even potentially, says, "I'm doing it." Brandon's now back on the chopping block, but he's telling you that God's telling him that you're not going to vote him out. If you do, in fact, want to vote Brandon out, how do you kind of counter this God thing? Because as far as I'm concerned, if you don't take the stance that God's going to tell you something different and you just say, I may choose a different path, Brandon's not going to be okay with that.
I think Coach accidentally backed into the correct play here, which is to say, I'm going to pray about it and do whatever I think God is wanting me to do. Because then Brandon doesn't have an argument to use against you. Because if he's on the jury, he stands up and says, Coach, what do you do? You betrayed me. You voted me out. Coach can say, I'm just doing exactly what you did. I prayed and God told me what to do. It's a perfect solution.
Yeah, and so now we get to tribal council. Before any Jeff can ask any question, Brandon gives Albert the immunity necklace. Coach, we go on to see, ultimately does betray and vote out Brandon. So we're now down to the final four Upolu. Coach, Albert, Sophie, and Rick. Ozzy and Brandon are off on Redemption Island, and that's where we find ourselves heading into tomorrow night's finale, or if you're listening to this later, the finale that's probably happened. But what we're going to be doing is, going into the finale, we're going to be breaking down each of the players one by one in terms of how we think their game's going, what they think they should be doing, and ultimately their odds to win.
Right. Let me ask you before we move on. What do you think of Coach's move there? Do you like voting Brandon out? Do you think he should have voted Sophie out instead? How would you have approached this if you were Coach?
It honestly depends, it depends on on my reads on the other players. As I've said many times before, if I'm in Coach's spot at any point in this season, I don't think I'm ever going to be voting Brandon out, just because he adds so much value. If you truly have him at your disposal, he gives you so much value as just a free vote, and you know he's never going to turn on you.
Right. If the players do think that Brandon is a genuine true threat, then it does make sense. It is consistent with that assumption, because he's shown himself to be fairly good in challenges. You don't want to let him get to the end, and it does make sense to send him to Redemption Island to fight Ozzy, because you know that then only one of them is going to remain in the game. As we know, though, Brandon isn't a true threat at all, or at least we assume that he isn't. So given that, I think it should have been an easy decision if Coach was thinking rationally to run off Sophie instead, because she's also good at challenges, she's very well-spoken and articulate, she's smart. If she gets to the jury, she could pull off an upset.
She certainly could pull off an upset. And to answer your original question, I believe, given what Coach knows, that voting off Sophie would have been the correct play. Because I think at that point you have to anticipate Brandon probably not going to get more votes than you at Final Tribal Council, just like you said. Right. Or Sophie might.
Right. You've seen that if you're Coach, and or anyone else in the game for that matter, sorry, you've seen Brandon blowing up at Dawn, you've seen Jim looking at him with incredulity every time he opens his mouth, and you know that Sophie and Albert both consider themselves rational people. They both don't seem particularly religious, and neither of them seems that devoted to Brandon. So instantly that's four votes that are up for grabs there. So the other five would have to swing to Brandon, and that just seems unlikely. Cochran even, who's shown to be close to Brandon, he's a fan of the game. He's not going to want to vote for someone who is playing the game so emotionally. So that's four votes for sure, and then one speculative vote that wouldn't go to Brandon. So unless you think Brandon's going to sweep all of the others, which he wouldn't, there's nothing to be worried about.
That's a very fair point. We've said since the beginning of this podcast that Brandon's not going to win the game. So are you ready to get into looking forward to the finale?
Sure.
Okay, I think we should begin by saying I don't believe either of us thinks that Albert or Rick can win first place.
Right, we'll get onto that in a minute, but I agree with the general principle. I think the only potential winners at this point are Coach, Sophie, and Ozzy. As I just explained, I don't think Brandon has a chance of winning, but I guess it's plausible in theory. He's the one percenter. You can imagine Brandon, if he comes back off Redemption, wins some more challenges, people may be starting to respect him a little more. If he somehow puts on a good performance at Final Tribal, yeah, he can maybe pick up enough votes, but again, I think it's very unlikely. So we'll discuss him for sure, because he's an interesting character and he's shaped the way the season's gone, but we're not looking at him as a winner candidate at this point.
So I think when we're looking at these winner candidates, the one we should begin with, the one that's getting a lot of buzz recently, is Sophie. Now, Sophie's getting a lot of credit as a player who is running the show from behind the scenes, someone who is planting seeds and kind of manipulating others to do her dirty work for her, all while keeping the blood off her own hands. Do you think that's a fair assessment of how Sophie's been playing?
I'll get on to that in a minute. Before I do, I just want to talk about Rick for a minute, because I think Rick's playing a very underrated game at the moment, and potentially, I think, the best game of the season, and hear me out on this. So, Rick, pre-game, he's saying he hated Coach, he hoped that the one returning player he wouldn't get would be Coach, and then on night one, the five of them sitting on the beach, he manages to work himself into that alliance. No one seriously considers voting him out for the duration of the pre-merge. When it comes time to vote off either Edna or Michaela, he positions himself as a swing vote. Everyone's coming to Rick to know what he wants to do. Then when we get to the merge, all of the five vote for Rick, meaning that he's safe in the event that they draw rocks. And the only conclusion you can draw is that Rick managed to persuade them to do that, using his southern charm and his wonderful manner. And then moving on later in the game, we see Albert, who we both agree is one of the smarter players, targeting Rick. Why does he do that? Because he knows that Rick is an under-the-radar threat who's making moves behind the scenes. And now we get to here, Rick's providing for his tribe, he's staying out of trouble, he has no blood on his hands, and yet no one's seriously considering voting him out. And as we know, the game's not about making big moves. Rick, all he needs to do is make it to Fun Tribal Council, put on a good speech, which I think he could do, and he could win. Now, everything I said is complete bullshit, but it's on the same level as the things that people are saying about Sophie, because both these sets of statements aren't backed up by evidence, they're completely unfalsifiable, and so to me, you may as well argue that Rick's playing some masterful under-the-radar game behind the scenes, as you might argue that about Sophie.
Well, I think people would argue that, you know, Sophie's at least laying out in confessionals and telling us why she's doing some of the things she's doing. People have more of a reason to believe that Sophie would have a logical incentive behind some of her moves and that she has this master plan. What do you think is preventing, you know, not to be mean to the threat or whatever, why do you think she's getting this much response?
Right, and I'm not trying to play some amateur psychologist or whatever, but I think the reason for all the Sophie love is this. Typically, when we think about the females that are cast for the show, they're usually fairly ditzy girls who are cast explicitly to walk around in a bikini. And Sophie's not like that. She's unattractive, and I don't say that in the pejorative sense. I mean to say that she wasn't cast for that purpose. She clearly was cast because the producers felt that she has something more to her, and she's clearly very smart, very well-spoken. And so, even before the game started, I think people had very high expectations of her. They expected to play the kind of game that they think she's playing now. And so, even though we have no evidence to support that, I think that's a natural conclusion that people are going to jump to.
That's fair enough. That certainly seems reasonable. I still honestly have no idea how I feel about her. I in the moment, I don't actively like her. I'm not rooting for her to win. But I think, you know, if she does go on to win, and again, hear me out on this, I think this is one of the few instances, maybe ever, that I think my opinion is going to be almost 100% results-oriented. And that's basically because we haven't seen a ton about Sophie, but what we have seen is she always seems like she thinks she knows exactly what's going on. And the reason I say this is because she's been approached several times by Albert to potentially get rid of Coach, and I think we both consider Coach to be the biggest Upolu jury threat, at least at this point. And she's never seemed to entertain those options seriously, which, as I've mentioned before, indicates to me that she thinks Coach is definitely taking her, and she thinks she can definitely beat Coach. By that logic, I think whether or not that is the truth is going to end up forming how I feel about Sophie as a person and as a player, because if that's not the case, I think she's been, you know, kind of arrogant, and she seems, at least in terms of Albert, not to give anyone else much credit intellectually. And I think, but if she does turn out to go on and win, then all the credit in the world for reading her table correctly, as they would say in poker, I suppose.
Right. We were saying a few podcasts ago that we thought Sophie and Albert should have turned on Coach at various points, but it's looking more and more as if Coach seriously does intend to take Sophie to the end. And if that's the case, and if she's in a good position to win once that occurs, then yeah, she made the right decisions there. I'm not one of those people who wants to argue that not making big moves is necessarily a bad thing, because if it's correct to stay where you are, then obviously you should do that. But what I'd say is, if Sophie does manage to win by just getting herself into alliance on day one and sticking with it, we don't really know how she would be able to react in situations where she does have to make a move, where she does have to break away from what she's previously established. So given that, I think if she does win, we don't really have much on which to judge her worth as a player, other than the fact that she won, which I think would be a bit too results-oriented.
That's fair enough. Any other very generous compliments to Sophie?
No very generous compliments at all. People who watch the secret scenes might have seen the one where she called Albert offensive and pathetic. She kind of accused him of being sexist, is the impression I got from it, which, I don't know, there's something that rubbed me the wrong way about Sophie. But to her credit, she does seem to be keeping that in check. None of the other people in the game seem to realise that she has this utter contempt for all of them. And if she can disguise that all the way to the end of day 39, then more power to her, I guess.
That's right. And once again, I think it's more about her attitude in terms of if she ends up being right, then it's totally justifiable. But if she's wrong and she seems to be banking all of her moves through Coach, just in terms of hoping Coach, you know, incorrectly takes her to the finals, given that she thinks she can win. If she ends up being wrong, I think she took the wrong approach to the game. And it's awkward for me as someone who tries not to be results oriented, but I think her attitude is really what's going to, is really the driving force behind my opinion of her rather than her gameplay. And I think the two tie together in terms of her results, and that's why in this instance I'm okay with waiting to see the results in terms of before I form an opinion of Sophie. Because I think if she ends up being right and wins, then she clearly is capable of making some reads. And that I think that's a tremendous quality in a Survivor player.
Right. I guess another way to frame my argument would be, let's say you're on the jury and the final three is, you know, Coach, Sophie, and somebody else. If Coach is wanting to argue that he played the best game, he can say things like, okay, I formed this alliance on day one, I found the idol match to keep it within the core alliance that I built. I used it effectively. I made sure that I didn't have to use it until the end. Managed to flip Cochran at the merge. I did all of these things. And he can point to specific examples of what he did. Whereas Sophie, she could say, well, I was making all of these decisions behind the scenes. And none of the jurors, even those who spent the most time with her, would be able to judge whether that's true or not. You know, she could have slept for the first 38 days and woke up on day 39. And we'd have no way of knowing what she'd actually did.
That's right, and I think it's worth noting, in terms of how the jury's going to, it's worth keeping in mind at least, that there are five Savaii sitting on the jury, and the Apollos, there were no tribe swaps pre-merge. In terms of when you're looking at people like Keith, looking at people like Jim, the early jurors, they spent 3 to 6, maybe 7 or 8 days with the people that they're ultimately going to be judging, and I think it's going to be difficult for Apollo to get much of a read on how they're going to vote, but you know, obviously there are going to be some assumptions made, and I think that speaks more strongly to Coach's point, to Coach's theoretical final tribal council arguments for himself, where he can literally point to things that the Savaii people are aware of, whereas Sophie may not be able to. I think it's safe to say, you know, spoiler alert for the end of the podcast, I think we both still have Coach as the favorite to win. We've gone over a lot, as I mentioned, about what he's done as a player and the arguments he could make for himself at final tribal council. But as we've also mentioned before, female winners, in this case it would be Sophie, tend to be under-edited. And Coach's storyline, and those storylines tend to be how someone else lost rather than how the winner won. And Coach's storyline has suddenly taken this turn, but perhaps not suddenly, over the course of a few episodes, taken this turn, where it's now much more open-ended in terms of he still could very easily punt this game away. If Coach loses, what do you think is going to be the thing that costs him the game? Could it have been the Brandon boot? And if not that, where do you think he goes from here?
So, I think there are a few different ways he could lose. Firstly, the obvious example is if Ozzy comes back and runs the table. And there's really nothing he can do about that. Obviously, he may have made some other game players before this, but if that happens, then he can't really be blamed for it, because it's really out of his hands at that point. The other option is that Sophie wins. Sophie beats him in the finals. He probably comes second, and it's probably close, but she ends up edging him out. If that happens, I think, well, firstly, his obvious mistake is not booting Sophie at some point previously, and I think this tribal council would have been a good point at which to do that. I think the Cochran boot was correct in retrospect. I also think the Edden boot was perfectly defensible in that if he had tried to keep her around, the ramifications for him could have been disastrous if the others turned against him. In this spot, though, you know, he has complete control. He is a swing vote between all the potential different groups. He controlled how this vote went, and he decided that he should boot Brandon. And if he ends up losing this game, I think this is a point that we're going to look back on and say that's where it happened.
Okay. It seems to me, at least as far as what we've seen from Coach this season, that he believes he's going to win if he makes final tribal council, no matter who he's there with. And his boot order would dictate that he wants to get there with Sophie and Albert. Now, which obviously would mean he would hopefully avoid Ozzy and then be booting Rick at final four. At least in terms of, in rewatching the episodes, there were a couple of scenes where he mentions, you know, it's going to be me, you, and me, Albert, and Sophie. So going ahead to the final four, assuming Coach can get, if he can get rid of Ozzy at 5, assuming Ozzy gets re-entered, if he can get rid of whoever is re-entered at 5, going at Final Four, who do you think he should be trying to go for at Final Four, I guess?
Sophie, point blank, unless you're in immunity. As it happens, though, I think in that scenario, given what we've seen from the previous episodes, given what we know about Coach as a person, that he's committed to this honesty, integrity thing, taking the strongest players at the end, I think he probably just boots Rick there and possibly loses because of it. Although, frankly, I still think he wins. I mean, like you said, spoiler alert at the end of the podcast, I'm still committed to Coach. I think he wins. I think he would beat Sophie as well.
I tend to agree. And a thought I had is that would, you know, potentially make sense in terms of the Brandon boot, and then if he were to go ahead and boot Rick at Final Four, I think he still thinks they would both still vote for him to win.
Right, his logic may be, Brandon and Rick will vote for me, and in addition, I can then realistically say I played the game with honesty and integrity, because we had this 7-person group, including Cochran, and I managed to get everyone booted in the order that I said I would. So Cochran first, then Edna, then the other two on the periphery, and then myself, Albert, and Sophie, the final three, just like I said from the beginning. And at that point, he can say, I played the best game here while staying true to my values, and that's a pretty airtight case, I think. Whether or not he actually says that is obviously another matter entirely, but he'd have a good argument there.
Definitely. You know, I don't know what else to really say about Coach at this point. I'm obviously excited to see what happens. I'm anticipating him winning. I'm certainly hoping he wins. Anything else to add about Coach before we get to the others?
No, we can move on, I think.
All right. Next, I think we should talk about Ozzy. Now, it seems to me the way Ozzy's going to win this game is that Ozzy's going to beat Brandon on Redemption, and Ozzy's going to win both immunities to make it to the final three. First of all, agree or disagree with that statement?
Right, yeah. If he loses at any point, he's done. We saw Coach offering him a deal, but I think that was just editing misdirection. I don't think Coach would actually go through with that.
Okay. So now, in terms of, and I think it's also, at this point, fair to at least be quite confident that if Ozzy does make Final Tribal Council, he wins no matter who he's up against.
Right, yeah. He has 4 votes on complete lockdown, and it'll be fairly easy for him to pick up a 5th. You could maybe see, you know, Coach or Sophie winning 5-4 with a 3rd person getting 0 votes, but I think that's unlikely. And that's certainly not something they should actually be trying to bring about.
Spoiler alert in terms of the final duel. We obviously don't know who's going to win it, but it's safe to assume, given the duel that we've seen in the previews, that it's going to be Ozzy, and that's because the duel that we've seen is a duel, or is a challenge that Ozzy's played before and done well at, and it's one they've used several times, and it's the one where the person just has to hold on to a pole for as long as they possibly can. And this challenge seems, you know, fairly tailored to Ozzy. So I guess the first question is, do you think Brandon has a chance to beat him?
I don't. I'm not sure about the physics of the challenge, like who's naturally favored, but I have to think, given his experience and given the fact that he's well-fed, well-rested, and it's just in the proper mindset for winning, I think Ozzy takes this pretty easily.
Yeah, you know, there may be some people who cry foul saying this is rigged to get Ozzy back in the game. I think this is a completely justifiable final duel, because at least on paper it looks like it's basically who wants it more. That being said, Brandon, I would agree, is not going to have a great shot against Ozzy at this particular duel. So now, let's assume Ozzy re-enters the game, and just for the sake of argument, Ozzy wins both challenges. He goes on to be a winner. He wins the jury vote. He's one survivor. How would you feel about Ozzy winning in the manner in which he won?
On a personal level, I wouldn't be particularly happy with it. I didn't really like Ozzy on either of his previous seasons, but I've warmed up to him more this season. As a fan who respects Strategy, though, I wouldn't be happy with it at all, because he wouldn't have had to play Survivor like everyone else. He would have just been on his own for 2 weeks of game time, basically performing fairground games in an attempt to make it back into the game and bypass, you know, the tribal council process that everybody else has to go through. And sure, yeah, he had to win a final jury vote, that's true, but he would have done so pretty much solely because his former tribe mates were on the jury, if we're being honest about it. And if he did that, I don't see how someone who respects Strategy can respect him as a winner.
Well, the thing is, I would consider myself someone who respects Strategy, and I agree in some regards. I acknowledge that it certainly would not be an ideal situation to happen in terms of a winner. That said, I wouldn't be overly upset with it. You know, Ozzy seems to have grown a little bit, at least as a person, and I find myself liking Ozzy a lot more this season for whatever reason, even though, you know, he's been buried in a couple episodes by the editors. Given that it's a Redemption Island season, and given that everybody who got voted out had a chance to play on Redemption Island, had a chance to beat Ozzy, and given that everyone knew from day one that this was going to be potentially a means to win the game, I have no problem with Ozzy using that means that everyone knew about from day one as his means to win the game.
Right, but that means isn't in accordance with how the traditional Survivor format works. And I'm not saying that as a purist who hates twists of any sort. I'm saying it because it's a purely physical thing. Yeah, and even those winners who got to the end via winning consecutive immunities, going on some sort of run, and then getting to a jury that's full of their allies, even they had to partake in the voting process. So they had to live with other people. They had to exist with them in this environment of paranoia. They had to vote people out. They had to justify their actions to other people. Ozzy's had to do none of that. He gets one-on-one time to basically cuddle up with every single person who's going to the jury. So while everyone else in the game is hurt by their environment, Ozzy is actively helped by it. So Ozzy has this advantage that no one else who's won Survivor before has had access to. And he's not playing the game that everyone else who's played Survivor has had to play. And so for me, that doesn't make him a worthy winner.
Well, the thing is, they did vote him out a long time ago, obviously not anticipating him winning out every single challenge on Redemption, at least. But they knew going in, when they vote him out, someone's going to have to beat him at some point for him to leave the game for good.
Right, but this comes back to a question of what you think Survivor is. Is Survivor about challenges, or is it a game about social interaction, about strategy? Ozzy has only had to do one of those things, which is partake in challenges. Even those people who weren't really aware of what's going on in the game and just won challenges to make it to the end, even they had to engage in all aspects of the game. Ozzy hasn't had to do that.
That's true, but I think, you know, it obviously becomes just a theoretical debate in terms of what you should value as a Survivor viewer. And generally speaking, it's not traditionally how Survivor is played because most seasons don't have Redemption Island. But I think when a season that does have Redemption Island, that's certainly a way that a Redemption Island season can be played. And like it or not, this is a Redemption Island season. And I think people obviously don't like, as a general rule, the concept of Redemption Island. And I guess I'm quick to defend Ozzy because I think I see him take a lot of heat in the thread on a personal level when people are more just frustrated that Redemption Island is even part of Survivor in the first place.
Right, I'm not arguing that Ozzy should quit out of principle or whatever. I'm just saying that despite the fact that everyone knew this was going to happen, that doesn't change anything.
Okay. So just to look briefly back upon the kind of the season as a whole, one thing that we've seen a lot of over the course of the season very early on is religion as a theme throughout, as a storytelling device in terms of advancing the plot, is because a lot of people, most notably obviously Brandon, are extremely religious people this season. And, you know, it can be argued that, you know, some of them are just kind of trying to appease Brandon, much like Sophie and Albert. I guess, as a fundamental question, what do you think about the role religion is kind of naturally going to play in Survivor, and how do you think it should be approached in terms of as another player in Survivor?
So I think in both cases, you just have to treat it as just another set of values. So if someone says to you, on day one, that, you know, they're conservative, they value certain things. To me, you treat that in the same way as you would if someone says, oh, I'm a Christian and I value certain things. So whatever value system people live by and want to play the game by, religion is just another example of that.
Now, I know that in both of our cases, this, I don't know if this is going to surprise people, both of us are atheists. And I think that would kind of complicate something if we were to, at least in my opinion, if I was inserted into a situation where religion was going to be such a big issue for so many people in terms of how they were going to play the game, as it has been and will be in any season with Brandon Hance. Now, so the question is, I guess, first of all, if you were put into this situation, say you're Sophie or Albert, or Sophie, I guess, would you kind of make it, would you let people know that you were an atheist, I guess?
I would do whatever I had to do to fit in. That's just Survivor 101. You don't do anything that ostracizes you from the group, unless you have to. So, if I turn up on the island and my tribe is full of religious people, then I'm going to be the most devout believer there is out there, because I want to be in the majority, not just from a voting perspective, but also on other things like values and everything like that.
Yeah, and I think one example we've seen of this in history where maybe the person didn't play it ideally was the Galoo tribe in season 19. Was for the most part very, very religious, and one member of the tribe, John Fincher, was not. And I think he made it known that he was not, and I think that we saw, you know, he was on the outside of the tribe for the entire game that he was playing. And I think that could have played a role. And I think, you know, atheism is an interesting thing because it's certainly a set of beliefs in terms of it dictates how, at least for me, how I would live my life. But I think within the context of Survivor, I agree with you. I wouldn't go out of my way to tell people about it, just because I don't see it potentially having any upside, I guess, because it's I don't think people who aren't religious are going to care that much, and I think people who are religious are going to it's not going to work out that well for you.
Right. Let me ask you then: if you found out that somebody was heavily religious on Survivor, would you have any sort of additional reservations about using that against them in some way? So by appealing to them based on that religion when you don't believe that yourself or anything like that?
I asked myself this question earlier when I was thinking about the Albert situation, because I don't know that Albert's fully as spiritual as he's perhaps leading Brandon to believe that he is. I don't think I would go out of my way to do that. And I think we saw perhaps Russell in Samoa, he at least was arguing that it was for a religious reason or for a strategic reason in his discussion with Laura, who was kind of the leader of the Galu tribe, the previously mentioned Galu tribe. I thought that he played up, my dad's a preacher, I'm super religious, I'm in church every Sunday, when it's probably not the case. And he used it as strategic motivation. I don't have a problem with people who do that. I don't know that personally I would go out of my way to do that, but if I was in a situation where that would help my game, I don't think I would hesitate.
Right.
Now, I want to talk about Brandon a bit, because obviously this is going to be, the reason we're talking so much about this is largely because of Brandon. And you know, I say this, I'm somewhat reluctant to say this, because I rarely think this is the case when it comes to religious people, but I think in specifically Brandon's instance, the fact that he is so religious is a detriment not only to his game, but to him as a person. Not that I dislike him for it by any means, but what I mean is that I think it's harmful to his life. In the sense, we've seen him say several times that he believes everything in the game and everything in life is predetermined by God. And I think that kind of allows him, at least it justifies in his own mind, his own behavior, because he's saying, I'm not even the one choosing to do, at least historically, he's run with some rough crowds. He's had a back and forth relationship with his now wife. He's got two young kids with her. She is freshly 18. He's got a hard home life. And I understand that religion helps, kind of appease really rough situations. Having the thought that there's going to be some higher power to take care of it in the end. But I think when it gets to the point that he thinks nothing he is doing, not that nothing he's doing matters, but that firstly, that nothing he's doing is of his own free will. And secondly, that when he does do bad things, as I guess you would describe them, that merely an apology is enough to kind of clear things, to make things better. Sophie pointed out that in Catholicism, perhaps that's the case, but in real life, it's certainly not. I very much enjoy Brandon as a character. I'm sure he's a great guy, generally speaking. But in summation, I think how religious he is and how much faith he has that there's some higher power, when I personally don't believe that's the case at all, really is detrimental to him as a person.
Right, I'd agree with that. It seems to me, maybe he's not doing it consciously, but this whole thing where he has to pray to God to find out what the right course of action is, it's kind of absolving himself of any moral responsibility for what he does. Because whenever something good happens, it's, God be praised, whatever. Whenever anything bad happens, it's my fault, but pray to God, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
And apologize.
It's an immature way to live your life, I think.
Yeah.
But give some credit to God, though. He's having a pretty good week. First he kills Christopher Hitchens, and now if Coach and Tim Tebow both win on Sunday, then, I mean, you have to tip your hat to him.
You're right. And, I'm sure some people out there may not know who Tim Tebow is. I'm happy to tell you that I'm very proud of Dom for not only being aware of who Tebow is, but watching a couple of Tebow's games. Tim Tebow, for those of you who don't know, is the quarterback for the Denver Broncos, who has no business, at least on paper, being a starter in the NFL, but is now 7-1.
I will point out that I have no idea what's going on, but Tim Tebow seems happy, so I'm happy.
That's fair. And, Dom, perhaps with a much more realistic approach to the whole Tim Tebow fiasco, where he, at least in the instance of last week, where he's giving a lot of credit to the kicker.
Right. Because of my ignorance of how American football, or fake football, as we call it, works, it seems to me that the is actually doing all the legwork here, both literally and metaphorically.
While God may be powering Tim Tebow to be a great football player, I saw it was either in the thread or on Twitter, someone made a great point, at least with regard to Brandon and several other instances. God is not a good survivor player.
Well, he seems to be getting everyone to do what he wants, so you could argue that he is.
Well, you got Brandon voted out.
Yeah, but yeah. God told Coach to do that.
That's all right. Fair enough. All right. I hope you guys were, you know, I hope that was fine for everyone to listen to. I want to move on now to something we saw two episodes ago, but I definitely wanted to bring it up at some point in the podcast. And that was after Cochran lost the duel to Ozzy, he gave what I considered to be a very true and very touching speech to Jeff Probst and everyone else. And, you know, I just wanted to say, Cochran, as I've mentioned, is my age, and I'm assuming he's been a fan of the show since the beginning. He at least, you know, he seems to be a very big fan of the show, as am I. And he mentioned throughout the course of, in his speech that, you know, he'd hear Jeff Probst saying, "Come on in, guys," and he would be in just absolute awe that he was one of the guys. And I think, you know, for a lot of people listening, that would be the case for them as well. And I want, you know, everyone who liked Cochran, everyone who disliked Cochran, I think they could at least get behind that he certainly loved this game, and I think both of us do too. And I've taken a huge part of my life. I've spent a large part of my life as a massive fan of this game, and I could not agree more with Cochran. And I just want to, I definitely wanted to just get that out there. Okay. you know, so just with that out of the way, let's look ahead to the finale. You know, we've gone through our winners. I guess now would be the time that we assign. Rather than just making one pick in terms of who's going to win, I think we would both pick coach. I think we should break down in terms of how much equity we think each player has at first place.
Right. Yeah, you can go first if you want.
Sure. Well, I think it's no surprise, obviously, if you've been listening this far. I have coach at a high number one. I think coach is going to win out here. You know, he had a minor setback last episode. I still give him a majority. I give him 60% to win.
I think that's fair. What okay. about Sophie and Ozzy?
Sophie and Ozzy are the two that are going to be splitting the remaining 40%, and I think most of it is going to Ozzy, actually, rather than Sophie. Just because Sophie's story, just to me, doesn't make sense yet as a winner, and I don't know that they can kind of piece it all together in the finale. I think there's been too much that we've seen where they've left some stuff from Sophie that I think if she had won, they would have included it in the episode, in the episode itself, rather than just as a secret scene. I think Sophie's been kind of left on the cutting room floor, and I don't think we would see that out of a winner, even in a cast with this many great characters. So I have Sophie's percentage relatively low. Ozzy's percentage, I believe I have him I think I'm the one giving him the most credit in terms of winning. I think he's going to win out the challenges roughly one out of four times. And, you know, mathematically, that's probably giving him something like an 85% chance at each challenge, which sounds unreasonable. I just don't know how I can watch Ozzy compete so many times, all the times that I've seen him compete. I can't give him lower than one in four to win. I'll give him that 25%. I think Sophie's going to pick it up sometimes, not often. I'll put Sophie at 15. I don't think anyone else can win.
Right. If we assume that Ozzy wins on redemption and comes back into the game, which I think is a fair assumption, so if we assume that that's 100% to happen, realistically it's probably more like 65-70%, maybe more. If we assume that though, then for Ozzy to be 25%, all he has to do is be equal equity with everyone else in the remaining two challenges, and obviously, as we know of Ozzy, he's very good in challenges, particularly when his back's up against the wall. So I think he's at least 20%, probably closer to 30, maybe 35%. Of the remaining equity, I think coach takes a majority, of course. Probably 40-45%. I think I'd give more equity to Sophie than you would. But I still think coach leads, and I'm happy predicting that coach wins. Although I'll probably get egg on my face kind of this time tomorrow.
Well, you know what? I'm sure it's not going to surprise anyone. As I've said six times, I predict coach to be the one winner as well. And I think that would be a great ending to this season. I honestly think either Ozzy or Sophie would still be a fine ending to a great season, but not nearly as good as coach.
Right. As much as I dislike Sophie from what we've seen of her as a character, I think she would be a respectable winner. Albert as well, I said, I really like. I think he'd be a good winner, even though that's looking very unlikely at this point. And obviously our favourite coach, I would be ecstatic if he managed to take it down.
Yeah, and you know, as you mentioned in one of our early pods, you know, we've obviously both been on team coach for a long time, specifically with this season in terms of having him as both of our favorites to win the whole game. As you've mentioned before, I think the only way it could get better than coach just outright winning is if he has an appropriate coach response to winning.
Right.
That would be fantastic. And I do want to mention, you know, the finale is tomorrow night. And after that, we're going to be having our season and review episode. And I announced it on the blog the other day. We're pleased to announce that we're going to be joined for that by Gordon Holmes, the creator of the Survivor Hall of Fame, a writer for Xfinity TV.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. We hope you tune in for that. If you made it this far, thank you. We hope you enjoyed listening. And that's about it from us. So we hope you enjoy the finale tomorrow, and we will see you for our next show. Take care.